This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى made this ummah the best ummah And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ You are the best of ummah. I mean, consistently, this is who you are. The best of ummahs that were produced for humanity. You enjoin what is good. And forbid what is evil. And you believe and you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the companions of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam were. They had this firm iman in him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also on top of that, because they couldn't say to themselves, we're fine as long as we are fine. No, you're not fine until you spread what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and you stop what Allah azza wa jal hates. So, al-amru bil-ma'roofi wa nahyu anil munkar. When you see evil, you speak out against it. When you see something that Allah hates, you must try to stop it. You must try to stop injustice and try to stop sin. And when you see something that Allah loves, you cannot let go until you ask people to do it and make it easier for them to do and recommend it and remove obstacles before their way. And only then would the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam be the best. وَالْحُكْمُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالشَّرْطِ That is, you will continue to be that best as long as you fulfill that condition of iman. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ You speak out against evil and you enjoin what is good. And when you lose that, you lose the privilege that Allah Azza wa Jalla had assigned to you. You lose the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You no longer are the best and you no longer are preferred. And that tells you then that this ummah is supposed to be an example in practice, an example in iman, and an example in the good that it spreads to other nations. Meaning that when they look at you because of your iman, you should be an inspiration. Even without you saying a thing. But in how you behave, in how you believe, in your commitment to your salah, to your hajj, to your zakah, in staying away from the haram, in your morality, in your ethics, A person who's looking at you should see from you shining the light of Islam, the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. Before you say a thing, in how you raise your kids, in how you deal with your spouse, in your transactions, in how you behave when you're angry and when you're pleased, how you distance yourself from the haram, how you live an upright life, How when you face a calamity, you return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and you ask for His assistance in the patience that they see from you, in the gratitude that they see in your life, you have to be an example. And that is predicated on having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a branch of that iman is for you to say to yourself, Allah azza wa jalla loves this, so I must teach people about it. Why was this ummah the best of ummah for people? Is because they save people. They don't say to themselves, we're going to go to Jannah and let everybody go to hell. They don't say to themselves, as long we are fine, let whatever justice, injustice be rampant on this earth. Because they understand that if they let sin fester somewhere, if it develops somewhere and you don't stop it, it comes back to swallow you. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith. He said, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. He says, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, you are going to enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil, or else Allah will soon send upon you punishment from him. And then you will supplicate and pray to Allah and he will not answer your supplication. Meaning, if you don't do this, enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil, you see it and you let go of it, you look the other way. If you don't do that and you think, as long as it's not touching me, as long as I'm not harmed by it, or as long as I'm not doing it, I don't have to do anything about it because it's not going to harm me. The Prophet ﷺ said, you have to think again because it's an obligation on you to do something and to stop it if you have the means. And if you don't, and you see sin, and it grows because of our inaction, grows because of our approval and acceptance of it, Allah Azza wa Jalla will send a punishment from him. And this punishment does not spare people. It will be widespread, it will be public, it will include everybody. And the tragedy here is that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, at that moment when you need Allah Azza wa Jalla the most, you will pray, but Allah will not accept. Because you have compromised that commandment from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must go back to this. And we must feel here personal responsibility for being part of this ummah, for sustaining the khayriya of this ummah, sustaining the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this ummah as the best. That is, I must feel that I am part of it and I must sustain it and I must not compromise it. I must feel personally responsible that when I see something good, I should spread it. And when I see an evil, I should stop it within the means that are available to me. But I should always have that responsibility, not leave it to somebody else. Not think somebody else will take care of it. But no, it is I who will take care of it. Because our complacency has produced the results that you see in front of your eyes. Somebody else will take care of it. To the extent that we believe that even our families, even our kids, somebody else will take care of them. The mother believes the father has to raise them. The father believes the mother has to raise them. Both of them believe the masjid has to raise them. The community has to raise them. There is no personal responsibility where you say, these children, Allah will ask me about them. Not somebody else will ask me about them. How did they grow up? What model did they have? Did I teach them about Islam? Did I enrich them or did I ignore them? When I found the path of sin easy to them, open, wide open, did I try to close it and provide alternatives? Did I strive to be a better husband? Did I strive to be a better wife? Who takes care of the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal? Oh, somebody else will. We're not talking just about donations, but even when it comes to donations, to the school, to the Islamic centers, to the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, to Islamic causes, who takes care of it? Somebody else will donate. Somebody else will volunteer. Somebody else will clean. We come sometimes, some of us, not all of us, but some of us, we come to the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and some of us will leave a mess thinking that somebody else will take care of it. Somebody is there. But where is that personal responsibility, that morality, that ethics that we should have, that Allah is looking at me in this moment? Any haram that I'm committing is a crack in the wall of the ummah. I'm weakening the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm depleting the goodness of the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam when I'm spreading injustice or sin like this. Your own individual morality matters. In how you behave at home, when you're alone privately, it matters. Because the weakness of the ummah is a collective weakness of individuals. And the strength of the ummah is a strength of individuals that come together to form a better, more lively ummah. So when he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, "You are," we must go back to this enjoining of good and forbidding of evil. And for that to happen, we have to first have knowledge. The heart itself must feel that this is wrong. Never be ever comfortable with sin, evil, injustice. Even, and the standards that Allah Azza wa Jal has applied in the Quran are the best of standards. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "O you who have iman, be strict adherents of justice, uphold it," meaning continuously all the time, "and witnesses for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," even if that witness is to go against, were it to go against yourselves, or your parents, or your relatives. Even if you were to admit that I'm the one who committed the mistake, my parents are in the wrong, my community is in the wrong, my family is in the wrong, you will offer that testimony because you're doing it for Allah's sake. It's not personal preferences, but the preference of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So upholding justice means that you begin with yourself and you inspect yourself and you say to yourself, "Before I can fix the world around me, I need to fix myself. And in fixing myself, what is the haram that I'm committing habitually? What is the thing that has living in my heart and living in my soul and living in my house that I need to banish? The haram that is distancing me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then, ابدأ بنفسك فانهها. Start with yourself and you command it to do what is good. And you forbid it to do what is evil. You begin there. And for that we need to learn. And we need to have living hearts. And as long as we are committing these sins, we'll find that we're not anywhere closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you look then at your family and look at those whom you have authority over. And with compassion, with wisdom, with knowledge, you want to stop the sin that is there. We want to clean our souls and clean our bodies, we want to also cleanse our families from anything that upsets Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is there also al-amru bil-ma'ruf wa-nahyu 'anil munkar. And of course, as I said, it needs to be done wisely, in a non-repellent way, in a wise, appealing way. But it needs to be done because we cannot coexist with the sins of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah hates. We cannot coexist with Allah's anger. Either we remove these things now, or we will be forced to let go of them under circumstances, horrendous circumstances that burn everything. So the events that we witness around us are all messages from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reality that we see and we must learn from. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all time to repent, time to reflect, time to understand that this is haram, time to understand that we're not living the right way that we're supposed to live. And as long as you have that time, you are fortunate. So you look at yourself in the mirror, externally and internally, at your reflection, and you say, "Is this how I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What if I die tomorrow?" And you've seen pictures and videos of many kids dying. What if I die tomorrow? Is this how I want to meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would I want Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to look at me this way? With this particular hair, with this particular clothes, with this particular face, with this particular how I live? This is how I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you shouldn't delay that change. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had extended your life and have given you health and have given you money and have given you time so far, then Allah azza wa jal is giving you a lot of ni'mas. But these things run out. These things run out. And the casualty of all of this is not only our iman. Not only will our iman go away, but peace of mind. Peace of mind. That will go away. So you'll find conflict within the family, conflict with your neighbors, conflict with people around you, at work. But most importantly, and the most disturbing part of conflict you'll find is a conflict with yourself. When you can't sit comfortably, when you cannot be at peace, when you cannot even sleep, when you have everything but you feel like you have nothing, when there are many things that you could live for but you can't find a reason to live. That's the conflict that comes from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, and think and believe that it's not somebody else who's responsible. You are the one who's responsible. And Allah wants to see from you some type of change, especially in light of what is happening. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The messenger of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. His rush towards deeds raced towards them before the arrival of fitan, like the dark pieces of night, trials, calamities, like the dark pieces of night. Meaning, do as much as you can do before these things arrive. And a calamity, an affliction, a test to be described like the dark piece of the night, tells you how hard it is and how difficult it is and sometimes how confusing it is, that you will not be able then to have the luxuries that you have today, to have the time that you have today. You'll be so preoccupied, maybe basically with basic survival, securing the basic needs. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, these things are foretold and these things will happen, and these things, as you approach the day of judgment, they are likely and they are going to spread, not shrink, but spread. So now, for your own sake, for the sake of your own children, and for the sake of the progeny that may follow, your grandchildren and so on, how are you going to get them prepared for this if they don't have Islam? If they don't have any commitment to it? If they don't have an understanding of it? If you have not said to yourself, this is the most important thing in my life, and that's the thing that's going to save me? Because think about it. All the dunya that you collect, when these fitan, these calamities arrive, all the dunya that you collect will not be able to save you. So what is the thing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, you have to get more of? Badiru bil a'mali, righteous deeds. So if you have time, take advantage of that time and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop disobeying Him. If you have money, spend that money for the sake of Allah. If you have children who are alive, healthy and well, teach them to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before being servants of the dunya. Be happy with the fact that they have prayed more than the fact that they've just gotten an A. Be happy with the fact that they have went to the masjid more than they have graduated. All the dunya is worth nothing in the eyes of Allah azza wa jal. Yes, you can strive for it. Yes, you can be happy for it. But let the greatest happiness be for a happiness that will actually benefit them when they meet Allah Azza wa Jal. So how are you raising your kids if you still have kids? They're not dead. They're not injured. If you have money, if you have a house and has not been demolished, how are you obeying Allah Azza wa Jal in that house and repaying the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal? And we can't really fully repay His ni'mah, but at least you could try. How are you grateful that you have a house? What do you do inside of it to please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you have eyes, how are you using your eyes to be grateful? What if Allah takes that away? What if a calamity takes that away and you no longer can see, you no longer can hear? What will you do? What are you doing as long as you can see and as long as you can hear and as long as you have some health? Before losing the ability to make sujood, and making sujood is a ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal, maybe you won't be able to make sujood in a few years. Are you using your ability to make sujood to actually make sujood and thank Allah for that ni'mah? If Allah Azza wa Jal had given you a beautiful skin, if Allah had given you a handsome face, if Allah had given you an incredible physique, how are you using this to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal? If Allah had given you a hair, how are you using this to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal? All of these ni'mah that Allah had given to all of us, and we continuously use them to distance ourselves from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So badiru bil a'mal, rush towards those deeds, because they do expire. And the benefit of calamity, we said that calamities might and will come. The benefit of affliction, when it happens, is that it illuminates and clarifies what's important in life. As long as we're not tested, everything in the dunya seems important. Everything in the dunya is worth crying over. I lost this job, and I lost this promotion, and I lost this money, and I cannot buy this house, and I cannot buy this car, and I cannot do this, and I cannot do that. Everything is in the dunya is monumental, and everything in the dunya makes us depressed and sad and angry and agitated, all of it. And our vision is not clear. What is right and what is wrong? We have no idea. Or if we do, we are too busy. And sometimes we're confused about who's an ally and who's a foe. We have no clue. But when a calamity arrives, and that calamity could be very personal, you're the only one who sees it. It's an illness. It's a loss of some sort. Or that calamity could be a family calamity. Or that calamity could be in the nation, or that calamity could be global like we see today. That calamity, that test allows you to see for a long time something that we haven't seen. And that is, it clarifies what is important. You could collect all of the dunya and you could lose it in a second. And now what do you have? Because that tells you what stays. If you lose a child, will you be able to manage losing that child? What stays? If you lose your spouse, if you lose everything that you thought is something from the dunya, will you be able to continue to live? You have to think about it. Will I be able to continue to live? How will I process this loss? Do I have enough iman, reservoir there of iman in my heart, in my life, practically? Not just wishing it, oh, I'm a great believer. No. Thinking about something is not like actually having it. You can think that you're rich, but that doesn't make you rich. You can think that you have iman, but do you actually have the iman? That comes through practice, comes through commitment. So if I lose, and think about it, I lose my job, I lose my career, I lose my family, I lose this. For some, I lose the ability to move. I'm still alive. How do you process this? Do you have enough iman to build on so that not only do you be able to continue to live, but be patient, and even on top of that, maybe thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you know that the hereafter is much better than the dunya, and every loss in the dunya is a gain in the akhirah. Just remember this. Every loss in the dunya is a gain in the akhirah. The more that you lose here, though we do not ask Allah to take things from us. But the more that you lose here and you're patient with it, that's a gain in the akhirah. So Allah takes from you here to give you over there, but will we have the iman to be able to remember this when we actually lose? So this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, badir, rush, race towards it. Because when you have iman, when a test comes, you'll be able to take it. You'll be able to live through it. And you'll be able to, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, overcome it. You ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to make us of those who enjoin good and forbid evil, and to begin with themselves and their families and their neighbors. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who feel personal responsibility towards what they see around them. To make us of those who react in ways that are pleasing to Him, not in ways that are displeasing to Him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send His mercy upon the people of Gaza. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to alleviate their pain. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to take away their suffering sooner than later, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to shield them with your shields and protect them with your protection. We ask Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Allahumma Ya Wahhab, Ya Allah, feed them and clothe them and give them food and water. Ya Allah, heal their sick and take care of them. Ya Allah, accept the dead among them as martyrs, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, take care of their orphans and take care of their widows, and make us from among those who have helped them, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and did not abandon them. We ask you to foil the plots of their enemies and repel their aggression. Ya Allah, foil the plots of their enemies and repel their aggression. Ya Allah, foil the plots of their enemies and foil their aggression, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you for all the good in this life and in the hereafter, and protect us from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask you for Jannah and everything that will take us to it. And we seek your protection from hellfire, anything that will take us away from it. And we ask you for the best that your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had asked you for. And we seek your protection from everything that your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had sought your protection from. Allahumma ighfir lana rabbal alameen. Allahumma ighfir lana rabbal alameen. Allahumma ighfir lana rabbal alameen. Allahumma ansur al-mustad'afina fi Gaza wa ma hawlaha rabbal alameen. Allahumma ansur al-mustad'afina fi Gaza wa ma hawlaha rabbal alameen. اللهم أنجهم من عدوهم اللهم أنجهم من عدوهم اللهم أنجهم من عدوهم اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم اللهم احفظهم بحفظك وكلائك ورعايتك رب العالمين اللهم إنهم ضعفاء فكن لهم يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنهم ولا تعن عليهم وامكر لهم ولا تمكر بهم اللهم وانصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم واشف مرضاهم وداوي جرحاهم اللهم تقبل قتلهم شهداء اللهم ارع ايتامهم وايتامهم واراملهم رب العالمين اللهم احفظهم واحفظنا من كل سوء ومكروه رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين ما علمنا منها وما لم نعلم اللهم ما كان من طريق خير تحبه وترضاه فيسره لنا يا أرحم الراحمين وما كان من طريق شر لا تحبه ولا ترضاه فعسره لنا يا رب العالمين اللهم يسر لنا الخير ورضنا بقضائك اللهم يسر لنا الخير ورضنا بقضائك اللهم اجعلنا من الصابرين الراضين الشاكرين رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.